Watch him go. You're listening to the Weekly Technology Show. That's right. I'm joined in the studio by Alexander McNabb of Spot On PR. He's a writer. He is a communications guy. He's the organiser of the Geek Fest. Good afternoon to you, Alexander.
Good afternoon. I really shouldn't have done that dance because I'm too ill for it.
There's a bit of a head banging to this music. Thank you very much from our listener just texted in saying, hello, yes.
That's this is live radio as it gets, isn't it?
Yeah, come on, Tom.
Thomas Shambler is wandering into the studio as we speak.
He is wandering around into the
fashionable
studio.
Fashionable 5 minutes late.
Yeah, never mind. One of our listeners says, I'm a dance teacher and ban phones from my classes, but they're the last thing they put down before entering the class and the first thing they pick up when they leave sad.
Well, let them do a mobile dance.
Sit down. Join the discussion. It's great to have you in the studio. Thank you, Tom.
Thank you for having me back.
It's a pleasure. Tom Shambler there, editor of Stuff magazine. How are you?
Pretty good. We took the scenic route and saw Dubai Land.
Oh, right.
This is the first time I've ever seen that.
Okay.
I'm surprised you saw anything because when I came in it was so dusty you had like a couple of hundred yards of visibility.
We saw giraffe.
A giraffe?
A plastic giraffe.
Oh, right. Okay.
A rocket. Not much else.
No.
Those really big gates. We went through those really big gates that lead to nowhere.
Oops.
And you can walk around.
Right.
That was fun.
And then found your way back here.
And yeah.
Okay, well, sorry.
I bet you wish you'd packed a picnic and everything.
Yeah, it would have been nice.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. Anyway, it's great to have you, as I said. We've just been going through some of the stories, Tom, that we've picked up a lot about Facebook, as usual, the IPO, etc. A couple of stories about Twitter. And there's one at the moment, which I thought quite interesting, which is, this actually came out of London, but I do think it's very relevant. It was in the Gulf News, and it was titled Parents to Control Children's Phones, which is a move to protect youngsters from pornography and bullying. You know, there's lots of stories coming out in the news at the moment about bullying and just about, as we always say on this programme, you know, just about making yourself safe online and just on your mobile phone. But this was interesting. It's let me just read through the article a little bit. It says parents will soon be able to read their children's text messages, control who they speak to, and turn their phones on and off, no matter where they are. It's a new mobile service promising total control over how children use their phones, from the websites they visit to the times of day the handset is on. It's a mobile phone company called Bemilo. They've created a service which will run on the Vodafone network. Now, it sounds quite draconian, doesn't it? But
what about the civil liberties of these children?
Well, this is the thing. I mean, it's tricky. I'd love to get some thoughts from listeners on that. I mean, is it something that you'd like to see happening here? Or
great. My dad's
here?
George Orwell. I mean, when in the past did a parent ever want to listen to every single conversation their child had? It's invasive.
It is, but maybe people are getting more scared now. But surely it would be better to build up the child's confidence and knowledge rather than going, right.
For instance,
Big Brother, we're watching you, don't do it.
For instance,
and
work with your child to ensure that they've got good communication skills, that they understand these things, that they're protected because they have knowledge, because you've had a dialogue with them, or just ignore them, plug them into a DVD and they're listening to their phone calls when they're behaving.
But it's kind of human nature, isn't it? Tell people not to do something or take something away from someone and they'll just want it more.
If you tell a child or a kid or a teenager not to do something, they're going to go do it. In the age of the internet, I can get round a firewall. You can kind of, I mean, SIM cards are so cheap, phones are so cheap, teenagers will have two phones, a private phone and a phone that mommy and daddy listen in on. I'm of the whole education thing. I think parents need to teach their kids what they should be doing, what they shouldn't be doing, and then that's the way the kids will learn themselves, not be told to do something.
Or have your parents listening on the conversation? I mean, personally, as a kid, I've ensured they got the conversation they wanted.
With lots of secret codes underneath, probably.
Yeah, just have a massive irrational flame conversation, just so they enjoy listening in on you. And there's a breach of trust between yourself and your parents in that as well. I find
it's
that inherently sad.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, so this came out of the UK.
Not that I have a strong opinion about it or anything like that.
What about tracking apps, though?
What are those?
These are things, well... So the iPhone's got it built in, something called Find My Friends. You can install apps on an iPhone, an Android device, or a BlackBerry that would allow, let's say we installed it on your phone, I could go in online, I could see where you are.
Okay.
At all times.
But I would have to allow you to do that.
Yes, okay. But I mean, if you're a parent, you could be like, here's a brand new iPhone, by the way, keep it on.
Right. That's not too bad. I mean, they have that already. People seem to want that for some reason on their
various different
iPhones.
Well, the next thing is, what if your company did it? So if you were pulling a sickie, you'd better be pulling a sickie, or you leave your phone at home.
Right. That could be a possibility.
That's the wonderful thing. I was just saying to one of my colleagues this morning, you know, having been ill this week, you no longer have to phone into work and pull the sick voice. I'm really ill. You just have to text these days.
Yeah, text, email.
It's a doddle. Do a sick text.
Which goes against, I read something the other day that said people are more likely to tell the truth while texting. Which
really?
I think it cannot be true. Because whenever I lie, it's via text.
Yeah, absolutely.
I remember, so actually, when you told me that you'd be comment. Here at 12:30, that was actually
a
lie.
Little bit late. Yeah.
That's interesting. I don't know. But I can see them a lot more of these things happening, though, sort of to keep an eye on people. We already have them, so people can voluntarily agree if they want to be followed or not. But I think there's obviously lots of security issues with those, too.
Engage, empower, enable.
Right.
Monitoring your children is not the way forward. It wasn't 30 years ago, and it isn't today.
Yeah. There's a text message come through from Cash. He says, possibly the system should work as in to alert the parents in case of anything suspicious, a suspicious word typed or something browsed, instead of, you know, having access to it all the time. Maybe.
Yeah. And again, in my childhood, make sure that there's no top shelf at W.H. Smith. You know, how can
there's
you try...
There's a W.H. Smith here now. Do you know that?
Yes, but it hasn't got a top shelf.
No, I bet not.
but, you know, using these technologies to invasively spy on your children is a slightly odd reaction to me to the challenges that these technologies bring. And I think the answer, as I keep saying, to that challenge is to make sure that your kids are well-rounded, well-brought up, and they have access to the information they need, and they can make their own choices. You know, one of the biggest things in the world is the kids are going to go and explore it and do it, whether you like that or not. Maybe the thing to do is to let them do that and then ensure that they're well-educated, that they're well-informed about the risks and dangers of what they're doing.
Yeah, and of course, children have friends, don't they? So it may be all well and good that the parents have put that app on their phone, but their friends may not have it. So you can't keep them completely protected, can you? Tom, what have you got for us? What have some of your stories?
I have got an internet story, okay. And that is that Google Chrome was last week the biggest browser in the world. So it
really?
It beat out Internet Explorer for the first time last week.
I missed that.
Which is pretty good. Pretty good for Google. Obviously, this was done by a service called StatCounter. You know, it may be close. It's not exact science, this sort of stuff. But Chrome beat out Internet Explorer, 32.5% of all browsers.
I must say, Google has been really hammering Chrome. I mean, on the famous, very clean Google homepage, you had a little advert for Chrome. Today's really cool, unbelievably, painfully funky Google Doodle has got underneath it, upgrade to a modern browser and see what this doodle can really do.
Oh, really?
Yes, and guess what that modern browser is?
Chrome.
Oh, yes.
I tried to do that, but unfortunately I did get then the pop-up saying, your computer is not currently...
Really?
Something, something. Yeah, really annoying.
What are you using?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a Chevron computer, steam driven.
It's a Mac. It's a couple of years old.
It'll definitely work with Chrome.
Well, it doesn't. I tried
will,
it.
Though.
I should have brought everything in today for you, shouldn't I? I've got all my gadgets.
We're
to
doing
be
e-books
fixed
in the second
things.
Hour, and she didn't even bring a Kindle.
No?
No.
That's all right, because I brought my digital magazine.
Ooh. Man of mystery, Thomas
Chandler.
But
yeah, back to Chrome.
Yes.
I think Chrome is awesome. I can definitely understand why it's become the biggest.
Can you tell me a little bit for people like me who don't know?
So Google Chrome is obviously Google's web browser, so it is just a web browser.
Okay.
The awesome thing about Chrome is that you can install web applications, so web apps. So you kind of boot it up, and you can choose that instead of seeing kind of the Google homepage or your homepage, you can have a load of apps. So, for example, I use a Twitter service called Hootsuite, which lets me manage multiple Twitter applications. That's got a web app, so I see that. So it's a little bit like when you turn on your phone or your iPad, you know, you see all the little icons.
Yeah.
That's what it's like when you boot up Chrome, if you want to use it to its full potential.
Oh, right.
And there's weblets. I've got I follow Mashable. Not really sure why, but I do. That's got a little like weblet thing. So from my browser, I can push a little button. Top stories pop up.
Okay.
So it's kind of... Yeah, it's browser 2.0 to overuse that term.
Much more customizable, and it's also cleaner and faster.
And it's all, streamlined, all HTML5.
Mm-hmm. And everyone can have that. There's
anyone,
no, right,
that,
anyone,
yeah.
Right.
Just download it, and it's yours, and all you have to do is accept Google into your life.
Right. Do we want to?
Which, once you do it, they start putting little hooks into you.
But it is kind of cool. I looked the other day, you can see, if you're signed into Google Chrome, obviously it does kind of track your searches. And you can turn it off if you want to. You can opt out. I don't really mind. Google gives me lots of free services. They can take my search data if they want to.
Yes, and your heart, and your soul, your liver, kidney, spleen.
But I was looking at, like, apparently I first signed in to Google in like 2005, and I started searching, signed in.
And it's got
all my searches from like 2005.
Oh my gosh.
So I was doing a research paper back then, and I've got all my searches.
Wow.
Which is kind of cool.
Kind of cool,
depending,
but also slightly scary.
Depending on what you've been searching for. And there's other things you can do with Google. You can go in and, obviously, from your search, your searches from your Gmail, for everything you do on Google, be it Google Plus, they have a profile of you, which they use to target advertising. And you can go in and you can see that.
So you can see what...
Google says, so for me, it's, I'm a male between 20 and 30. I like technology because I do lots of searching of technology. I live in Dubai. I'm interested in like restaurants in Dubai. And it gives you this whole, this whole targeted thing. So I will see ads that...
I'd be really curious to see what, because obviously, I suppose with my job, it's really quite diverse, the sort of things that I'm looking for. I'm wondering what the profile is.
When you browse the internet, do you find a lot of wooden objects being sent to you as adverts or...
No.
Sort of slightly old-fashioned things or
like books.
Yeah, like books or maybe those telephones where you put the earpiece up to your ear.
But it is
gramophone.
It is cool because the other day I was sent an email and it was, would you be interested in doing some freelance work? I'm not allowed to do that, so I said no, of course. But ever since then, I've been seeing ads for time tracking software for freelancers and for this service that will match up writers, freelance contracts. And it's all coming straight at me from one email.
It's fascinating. I don't know why, I just find it slightly scary as well.
I had a Google moment a few weeks ago. I sent an email, because we use Google Docs, mm-hmm. I sent an email to somebody saying I've attached, I can't remember what it was, and Google stopped me. Your email says you've attached something, but you haven't attached something.
Oh, I know that.
Should you be attaching something? And I thought,
love it.
That's
love
really
that.
Cool. Yeah. And then I thought, no, it's not. That's really scary.
No, I really like that, because they say, you said you'd attach something in your email, but you haven't done it. So, thanks. I think I actually said thanks.
it's the two sides of Google, isn't it? One of the things that makes it so cool is also the thing that makes it slightly scary, because Google's in there, it's in your cranium.
They're in there, aren't they?
You've never invited them in.